deny the love. I'm hanging on me, push and shove. Possession is the motivation that is hanging up the goddamn nation. Looks like we always end up in a rut. Everybody now trying to make it real compared to what. Twisted children are killing frogs. Poor dumb rednecks rolling logs. Tired old ladies kissing dogs. I hate the human love of that stinking mud. I can't use it. Trying to make it real compared to what. Come on, baby.
I guess we're here. I don't know. I got weird things going on. Maybe it's my end. Top of the afternoon to you. Jeffrey Bennett. Another installment of Perspectives on America. Some of you knew the program several weeks ago as The Edge of Darkness. Prior to that, many years ago, it was Perspectives on America. What the heck? You know, you wake up someday and say, let's make things different. Except that, for the most part, within my own habitat, I am unable to do that. I don't believe in changing things, making differences. A lot of reasons for it. I'm mad as hell. And I'm not going to take it anymore. Yeah, that's it. I'm finished. Finished with all the stupidity, the apathy in this nation. All right, so we've been kicked. But we're not down. But damn it, when is America and her sheeple going to wake up to that fact? If this is war, then let's start acting like it. No, I don't mean by running back to the movies and the ball games, although all of us need a break once in a while. I mean by pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps, if you young punks even know what the hell I'm talking about. Get about the business of being Americans again. Stop the whining and the sniveling. Stop being so damn self-centered. The media's done all this to you, and you've laid down in the strawberry fields for what seems like forever. And you can't even get up because television and the talking heads have ruled your lives for so damn long that you become brain dead. Pull the life support, for heaven's sake. Cut the umbilical cord of the damn government. Stand up on your own damn 2 feet. We're in this war for God knows how many wars, for whatever we're told as being a very long time. Why? Because they tell us so. We're going to be annihilated by the bioterrorists and the spread of anthrax and COVID. Oh, God, COVID's exploding again all over the country, all over the world. Well, I'm not suggesting that this stuff isn't a real possibility, because it all is. See, one day's headlines below, if you got the stomach to face reality. The Federal Observer posted its first warning about these very hazards just 3 days after the attack on America in 2001. And now these subjects seem to become the latest news story. Oh, back in the day, it was Iran-Contra-gate and Ollie-gate and Rodney King-gate and then O.J. Simpson-gate and Bill and Paula, Bill and Kathleen, Bill and Monica. Whitewater Gate, Foster Gate, Downtown Brown Gate, Monica Gate, Fornigate, Pardon Gate, Bill Gates Gate. Drop your drawers and fill the nightly news with more worthless newsgate. We still get Hillary Gate. Reno Gate's dead. We faced over the years Gore almost at the gate dead. Bush Gate, Florida Gate, Biden Gate, Trump Gate. And every single time, people stay glued to the boob tube for every scintillating detail. She hit people. Being prepared is one thing, but this is idiocy. Over the years, some of the things we faced were U.S. warning citizens on biohazards in the mail. Postal Service alerts 135 million addresses, provides gloves, masks to many employees. There was a poll that anthrax sparks broad concern. When I open the mail, I'm much more cautious. Baby boy at ABC gets anthrax. Is Cipro safe for kids? Boca ER chief confirms Cipro shortage. 95% of anthrax cases are skin-related. Yeah, well, about 95% of COVID cases are BS-related. The world's been shaken by anthrax and COVID and panic spreads, and hoaxers are taking advantage of the situation. Abortion clinics get powder in the mail. Offices in at least 13 states receive threatening letters. Well, that was a headline out of Reuters. Second tabloid worker has anthrax. 73-year-old mailroom worker diagnosed with inhaled form. That came out of Associated Press. Police test for anthrax on LL flight. Suspicious powder found in cargo hold after flight from Europe. That one came out of Israel Haaretz. And from the Moscow Times, Russia orders anthrax aid or COVID aid. It doesn't matter. Change it. We've got everything prepared for the eventuality of an outbreak. And the headlines go on and on and on. What I'm sharing with you is a column that I wrote, obviously, many years ago. Matter of fact, it was wrote and published when the Federal Observer was just months old, in October of 2001. I published this article. So, the names of some of the players have changed, but a lot of the players are still playing. Isn't it interesting? Nothing has changed. I could have rewritten this thing and removed the word anthrax and just gone ahead and put in MNRA, put in COVID. Wouldn't have mattered. I could have shared all this without even making reference to those things, and the average person out there would just go la-di-da-di-da. They would think it's all brand new written stuff. But here's some of the things we face. The damn media seems to think that they have a right to every tidbit of news that comes around, manufactured or not. Now, I read a book once called Tools for the Takeover, written by a TV news anchor. And in the book, he told how the news was made. One little tiny soundbite would be picked up by the local rag. They would then embellish the story. It would then be read by the yokels at the TV and radio news department, who would then embellish it even more. Enough said. If you don't have the idea by now, you never will. And so what's the purpose of this ramble on this program or on the original column? Absolutely nothing, except to get it off my chest. Because if you spend your whole life reading the headlines as the types that we've listed here, then you're going to freeze. You're going to do nothing. And then the enemy will have won. But as Pogo once said, you punks won't know who Pogo is either. We have met the enemy. And the enemy is us. Whether we are in this or any war for a long time or not, it's time that this whole damned, and that's what we are, whole damn nation stands up and demands accountability in government. It's interesting. I, at that point in time in writing this column, I had a statement in here saying, I, for one, support Bush in his anger over the leaking of classified information to the gentlemen and ladies of the damnable press. Doesn't matter what the president's name is, if they will expand their anger over the leaking of this kind of information. Maybe these people that do it should be shot for having such loud mouths. You know, loose lips sink battleships. I don't know if you remember, that's what the saying was in my father's time. And if we're going to win, then shut the hell up. And now it's for the government. What's all this crap about the American people having nothing to worry about as relates to biological and chemical warfare? Now, I've been to the webpage for the Center for Disease Control, a government agency. They do their best, in a certain degree, to educate and warn those who will listen or read about these dangers. Over the years, I've been to the Johns Hopkins websites as well. I put more faith in them than I do in the federal government. Those who tell us there's no major threat to be concerned about, that we won't need the antidote, well, hell, you yo-yos can't even seem to get the stuff made. But you're willing to let Russia take care of us. Oh, yeah, that's exactly what they want to do now. Oh, that's just effing brilliant. How about our good friends from Chinky Dink? You know, Biden's friends. Will they help too? As long as we're not angry at Muammar Gaddafi this week. Oh, he's dead. Why not seek his assistance as well? When are the talking heads going to stop lying to the American people? When are the American people going to stop lying to themselves? Fat chance in a skinny mind. And so while our friends, the weak-kneed, arrogant bastards in the U.S. Congress, were too busy letting Willie expose his willy for 8 years, they weren't paying attention to our weakened military or our lack of foreign policy. If Willie had had his way, it would have been foreign affairs. Oh, that's right. He was having those supplied by Epstein, wasn't he? Now the chickens have come home to roost. Chicken poop. But the members of Congress have gas masks. They have the antibiotics. And of course, their damn beloved Israel at least supplies their citizens with gas masks. You should have. And I say that to the elected official dumb, because there's been so much hot aromatic air coming out of D.C. for years that the stench is unreal. But that's okay, because in a truly free republic, notice I did not say democracy. Each individual, not citizen, each individual has the right and ability to care for his or her own without the handout from FedGov. I don't know about you folks, but I don't want to be tied to their damn purse strings. But the price is altogether too high. To hell with this. Without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett. And that was the original column. I won't necessarily tell you what the title was. It is published on Federal Observer right now, or should we say republished? Well, simple. The title is Editor of Federal Observer is Pissed Off. And you should be, too, if you know what's good for you. So, yes, as I referenced earlier, we changed a few names. We've changed a few headlines. Gone from anthrax to COVID. Notice how these things just keep coming around. They can call it whatever they want. You heard about the whole Fauci mess today and yesterday. Oh, it just keeps getting better and better. It is something else what's going on. Absolutely unbelievable what's going on. Jeez. Pure insanity. What the heck was I just talking about? Oh, I don't even know. No, that's kind of where I'm at. I mean, Fauci is just denied. He refused to answer questions. Beating around the bush. And he's going to get away with it. Biden's son goes before Congress yesterday. And because one of the people interviewing made reference to the fact that he had no balls, he and his attorney representatives got up and walked out. They're allowed to do whatever they damn well please. If you and I got up and tried to walk out of something like that, we'd be sat back down. Now, I sit there and take a look at the kind of commentary we open this program with. Not the kind of thing that our politicians want to hear. It's not the kind of things that our regular news people want to hear. Their idea of free speech and mine are two different things. They think they've got the right to speak freely of anything they want to and represent it in any manner that they want to. But it's not legitimate in so many instances. And so we face this perpetual war on free speech as it is. But the question I ask is, does anyone believe it? Our founding fathers made the Constitution palatable by including this thing called the Bill of Rights. Without the first 10 amendments, the Constitution is just what its early critics, including Patrick Henry and Thomas Jefferson, said that it was. A dangerous consolidation of power, far less representative of liberty than the Articles of Confederation. Our founding fathers made the Constitution palatable by including this Bill of Rights. You see, the First Amendment was always a huge concern with status of every era. Those who thirst for power will compromise themselves in order to attain it, have never looked favorably upon those critical of them. John Adams, our second president of the United States, passed the Alien and Sedition Acts for just this reason. He bristled at criticism. Unfortunately, Thomas Jefferson succeeded him in office and scrapped this tyrannical concept. But the notion reared itself again in 1860 with the election of one Abraham Lincoln. You see, Adams was a civil libertarian compared to Lincoln. So-called Honest Abe didn't pass any new Alien and Sedition Acts. He just shut down over 200 newspapers that opposed any of his unconstitutional actions. Well, I bet you don't hear that story too often, do you? Then along came some 40-odd years later, Woody Wilson, Woodrow. And he revived those odious acts during World War I. Eugene Debs and others were imprisoned for opposing the pointless shedding of blood and America's participation in it. But the Supreme Court, in perhaps its worst ruling ever, upheld Wilson's right to jail anti-war protesters. Great liberal justice Oliver Wendell Holmes coined the phrase, yelling fire in a crowded theater. And he did so just to justify such heinous oppression, placing an ugly asterisk on free speech. Apparently no concerned American asked at the time just how protesting a war could be construed as yelling fire in a crowded theater. And yet this expression gained great renown across the land and is forever on the lips of those who seek to censor dissent. Then along came Frankie. Not Sinatra, he was also singing at that time, but we're talking Franklin Roosevelt. And he built upon the actions of Wilson, who was inspired by the maniacal despot Lincoln. And one of the countless unconstitutional agencies created under the New Deal, the Federal Communications Commission, was in effect a national alien and sedition act for the radio stations. And would then go on to control content in Hollywood and on every television network. They banned selling advertising that discussed controversial issues. And vulgarity and extremist opinions were strictly forbidden. FDR pushed several inquisitions in Congress, most notably the one chaired by then-Senator Hugo Black. You know, the former KKK member who went on to become a liberal Supreme Court justice and arbitrarily awarded the 1948 Senate election to landslide Lyndon Johnson, who was the first to court the dead vote. No, we're not talking about presidential. We're talking about when Johnson ran for Congress. Well, then along comes the Black Committee. Other inquiries attempted to severely curtail the ability of journalists to criticize the New Deal. FDR himself is documented to have personally tried to ruin the careers of his political opponents. And all of this was years before the Pearl Harbor false flag. Once America entered the war, FDR went after draft evaders and memorably incarcerated American citizens in concentration camps. Oh, not just Japanese Americans, but German and Italian Americans as well. And the Roosevelt administration also stole billions of dollars in personal property from those poor souls. And much as Lincoln had locked up any northern anti-war voices without any due process, FDR imprisoned those opposed to his war. In 1945, his successor, Harry Truman, had anti-war poet Ezra Pound arrested, who then spent a decade in a mental institution. Makes us have to consider today's woke authoritarianism and its historical content. Oh, the precedents are all there. Cancel culture was born when Lincoln canceled his critics in the press and threw thousands of uncharged citizens into makeshift prisons. Wilson followed that president, but FDR expanded it into a totalitarian art form, and his administration canceled its critics in a variety of ways. FDR used J. Edgar Hoover to target some of them. His administration confiscated millions of telegrams to and from Roosevelt opponents. And long before Richard Nixon's laughable efforts to use the IRS to monitor his critics, FDR had the fledgling agency audit almost everyone who opposed him. Oh, indeed, my friends, FDR led a veritable crusade against free speech. Of course, the social justice warriors might look just a bit different. Tattooed, pink or purple hair, maybe transitioned into countless new genders. Utterly addicted to name-calling, but they are the local descendants of those who supported the Alien and Sedition Acts, who threw citizens into jail that objected to our involvement in faraway wars. Those who wanted to use the IRS and the FBI to cancel critics of the political elite. Not enough, though, tried to stop this onerous censorship in 1860 or in 1818 or in 1839. Too few are trying to stop it now. And that means a lot of people that are listening to this program right now. Not trying to stop this onerous nonsense that we're facing. January 6th political prisoners. I guess they're quite a testament to that. They've been subjected to the cruel and unjust punishment explicitly prohibited by the Constitution, which was inflicted on Northern Copperheads during the Civil War, and anarchists and Reds during World War I, and Nazi sympathizers during World War II. The crazed adherents of identity politics, my friends, are hardly the first to want to silence their critics, get them fired from their job and rendered unemployable, increasingly prosecuted for their thought crimes. Of course, those who oppose Lincoln's mad war and suppression of civil liberties were the thought criminals of their time, long before Orwell gave a name to them. Everyone listening to this little missive is, in fact, a modern-day thought criminal. Oh, and there's millions upon millions of us. Is there room in overcrowded prisons for all of us? As Lord Acton, the great lover of liberty, who is friends with Robert E. Lee, not Ulysses S. Grant, Lord Acton reminded us that power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. Those in power in America 2.0 are absolutely corrupt. How many of us, my friends, truly believe in free speech? I mean, almost everyone has a big butt, to quote. No, that's spelled with B-U-T, not the posterior portion of our bodies. Almost everyone has a big butt, to quote the late Pee-wee Herman. Oh, sure, I'm for free speech, but not for Holocaust denial. Disbelievers in the Apollo moon landings. Or they're even more extreme bedfellows, the flat earthers. Then there's those who think mass shootings are a hoax or fake news. White people outraged by the Great Replacement. Just referring to the Great Replacement can get you canceled, unless you're supporting such a thing, of course, which all of our horrific leaders do. Try mentioning how the average American today weighs what the average American man did 60 years ago. See what the hell happens. Oh, there's a lot of caveats to the mainstream idea of free speech. The symbolic prosecutions that these figurative fire in a crowded theater abridgments of free speech, oh, the baby, they in full swing. And now, that character from up north or down south, wherever the hell, Alex, supposedly owes nearly $1 billion to selective Sandy Hook parents. Any mention of Sandy Hook is even more anathema to public discourse than the Great Replacement is. Oh, Jonesy also apologized for Pizzagate, which was ridiculous. I mean, look at those disturbing pictures on Instagram and the Podesta emails published by WikiLeaks. If Donald Trump had paintings of children with freshly spanked bottoms on the walls of Mar-a-Lago, do you think it might be reacted to differently than it was in the case of Podesta's brother? Of course, now Rudy Giuliani owes owes almost $150 million to two particular offended election poll workers. The only acknowledged exceptions to free speech at one point were overtly slanderous or libelous comments. It's all understandable. People do have a right to protect their reputation, but it's an up and down. It's a slippery slope, my friends. Obviously apply it in a wildly unfair manner. Well, there's a fine line between libel and justified criticism. Donald Trump, think whatever you want of him. Yeah, he's been the object of slander from numerous national figures. Includes physical and even death threats. If Trump ever brought a slander suit against the fake media he rages against, he'd be laughed out of every courtroom. Because it's Trump. Not because it isn't slander. There's Obama. Clinton, Biden. They'd be treated much more respectably by this hopelessly corrupt TikTok justice system of ours. Some slander is more equal than others. Would you not think so? But then you see slander and libel have been supplanted now by the Orwellian term hate speech, which has been accepted by almost everyone, even though the very term immediately destroys any concept of free speech. And now disinformation and misinformation, entirely subjective terms, kind of like hate speech, they're all being bandied about as potential crimes. It's essentially what Jones and Trump are being prosecuted for. The notion that they're misleading others with speech that the state finds offensive or racist or disinformation or misinformation. Trump's being tried in court for contesting the results of an election and for exaggerating the value of his assets. Frankly, it doesn't seem to worry most Americans, because they need to remember that whole, quote, first they came for the communist thing. Don't think they won't come after you, people. If we were truly protected by the First Amendment, then there would be no possibility of being prosecuted for our views on an election or a virus or a vaccine or any historical event. Every opinion is protected under the First Amendment. Well, theoretically. If you say something offensive to any of the groups and individuals that are allowed to be perpetually offended, then you are now subject to a politicized prosecution. No one should want to go anywhere near one of our Orwellian courtrooms, because they're now just as dangerous as hospitals. Thought criminals, by definition, they're not being pursued for their actions. They're not robbers. They're not rapists or murderers. It's a difficult task to prosecute the thoughts of others. But our authoritarian leaders are up to that task. And millions are complicit by their silence. And yet today, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, they ban, they suspend, they cancel those users who have unwelcome news. First Amendment be damned. As the conservative defenders and the cancel culture remind us, well, they're all private companies. They have a right to ban people. As I consider responding, you mean like restaurants, for instance. People, they don't need a reason, right? After all, they're private companies. What exactly is the difference between denying an admission to a restaurant or a store or a neighborhood on the basis of skin color or on the basis of political philosophy? Or even simply wearing a MAGA hat, which I've not, nor will I, All this is but a selective discrimination thing. I'm afraid too many people wouldn't understand. Because you see, it's not easy being a true supporter of free speech now, is it? Not in a society that doesn't value it. Where more people than not are fine with stipulations on it. The First Amendment does not protect hate speech. That's what their nauseating mouthpieces and our state-controlled media will blab about. As they effortlessly bleat the words, Oswald killed Kennedy, or diversity is our strength. The word hate does not appear anywhere in the Bill of Rights or the Constitution itself, but there is no one there to counter them when they make these statements, which are disinformation. If anything is, I would be waiting for someone, perhaps a member of the loyal opposition, to point all of this out. But then you see, fewer people have probably read the Constitution than have read the Bible. You know, I thought the internet was beyond their control. They let us have unfettered access to true diversity of thought for a few decades, but then the social media conglomerates gave them their opening. FDR canceled the editors and radio commentators of his day. Now the woke leftists can get big tech to deny access to crucial internet platforms to those who write or say discouraging words. Things like YouTube and Facebook are shells of their former selves. Many like me are shadow banned. They restrict our access to a larger audience. That's one way to control the competition. FDR and Lincoln would have loved it, baby. What they ideally want is an FCC to control internet content. Millions of Americans don't believe in God, so they don't value rights that the founders said came from God. And the right, victimized by politicized prosecutions in America 2.0, hardly believe in true free speech. Witness the reaction of the mostly non-white students on college campuses protesting Israel's brutal retaliation against the Palestinians. At Harvard, those students were doxxed, just like so many right-wingers have been. And their names were published. Powerful Jewish businessmen tried to blacklist them from employment. And most conservatives, being Zionist defenders of Israel, applaud that particular canceling on campus. It's kind of educational to watch the Ben Shapiro's, Megyn Kelly's of the world display such obvious hypocrisy. Everyone seems fine with suppressing some speech. Who supports all speech? We're at war, people. Oh, I'm not referring to the continuous interventionism in other smaller sovereign nations, which is the foundation of our disastrous bipartisan foreign policy crap. No, our leaders are at odds with the concept of free speech. They hate it more than they supposedly hated any foreign boogeyman. Now, I don't know why they just don't treat the Bill of Rights like a troublesome Confederate memorial and remove it from the Constitution. All they got to do is declare it racist. And the majority of honkies would start cucking and living and jiving. If sleep and birds and proper grammar are racist, why not free speech? Because if you ain't got free speech, baby, you ain't got no free country. No one to hate us for our freedom. Democracy isn't threatened by any speech, but we are all threatened by those who don't believe in freedom of speech. Maybe we could start up a new American Civil Liberties Union. One that is, well, you know, actually and legitimately concerned about the protection of civil liberties. For civil liberties begins with free speech. If you cannot say what you want, it's obvious you cannot do what you want. the mass arrests after the truly mostly peaceful January 6th protests demonstrated that we don't have the right to peacefully assemble. It's guaranteed by the Bill of Rights. But we ain't got it no more, Jack. Well, some do. BLM, for instance. No, it's not about protest or speech itself. It's about what the speakers and the protesters speaking are protesting. Abridged speech is not free speech. If you don't support free speech you disagree with, then you don't support free speech. It's that simple. But then you see some speeches not more equal than others. Commentary, Donald Jeffries. Pride Protest Magazine. The perpetual war on free speech. You will find that column. Where's it quicker here? Come on. All right, here we go. No, something popped up and I got to clear it up a little bit here. It won't take long, you know. Oops, wrong one. Where'd the stupid thing go? Ah, perpetual war and free speech. That's what I'm looking for. Sorry about that. I got a lot of things going on here. And I've had a very strange day. A busy day. And it just doesn't seem to go away. None of it. What do you mean? Publishing soon. What in the world is that? I don't know. I'm fried. Ay. Where is it? What the heck is this? I guess I chose to post that off and didn't realize I'd already published it. What a fry case, man. What a total fry case. We got that. I can't even read this stuff. Is that set up to get scheduled? But the funny thing is, I'd already published it. Here it is. No, I found something weird about it that I'd eliminated, and I've got to take it out. And it's coming out right now. Hey, those things happen. Do you get it, Jack? Ah, my goodness gracious. You know, all these years of broadcasting, we face these things on a daily basis. There are those who do what I do. That's being on the air. They don't necessarily sell anything. They have tremendous concern for the things that we see going on in this country. But we just don't seem to wake up. Too many listeners don't seem to wake up. Now, I don't say that to offend you. It's a reality factor. How many years I've been doing this, I'm saying, what in the living daylights is going on? How can people not see what is going on? How can people not understand what is going on? Good, bad, and indifferent. Because that's the reality. That is the reality. So much is going on, and we do so little about any of it. It's just It's so appalling to me. So unbelievably appalling to me. I truly and sometimes wonder, why do I continue to even do this? Done it for a long time. I'm sitting there looking at other headlines, which some of which I posted today. I want to scream. We have an administration today that doesn't run anything except their mouths. There are those behind the scenes that are running this dog and pony show. I'm not going to mention names because you know damn well who I'm talking about. We've talked about over the last 6, 8, 9 months about the horrific effects going on with the illegal invaders coming into this country. The numbers have just exploded. They're so damn huge. So damn huge. This cannot be controlled. And then I find an article here today called Why 2024 Will Be the Year of the Illegal Alien. Why do they have to continue to write this in such a positive way? They're not illegal aliens. They're illegal invaders. And this administration's self-inflicted crisis at the border has devastated America over the past 3 years, but the worst is yet to come. 300,000 illegal invaders crossed our southern border in December alone, shattering a new record for monthly border crossings. They set records for illegal crossings in 2021 and 22. And the Biden administration's anti-border policies once again likely facilitated a number of illegal crossings at the southern border in 2023. Oh, the official numbers for last year have still not been released. Don't expect the record set in 2023 to last very long either, because 2024, this year, is likely to be an even worse year for border security. And the deteriorating situation at our southern border is primarily due to the lack of deterrent factor in foreign nationals who cross the border illegally in order to file bogus asylum claims. And the current administration is the first in U.S. history to announce publicly that there will be no consequences for those who cross the border illegally. And you're going to sit back and just accept this? So in his first year of office, this idiot, Magoo Mayorkas, announced that residing in the country illegally was not a cause for deportation unless the alien had committed a serious crime. And as the situations have worsened, Mayorkas has pivoted to telling aspiring migrants not to come to the U.S., but has continued to refuse to uphold the rule of law. And he blames a broken immigration system for the crisis. This is bullcrap. The U.S. immigration system is not broken. The federal government has all the tools it needs to stop the border crisis, but simply refuses to use them. All because the current administration wants the border to continue to be overrun, desires a massive influx of illegals into the country. Their only concern is defusing the political blowback that has resulted from their policies. And Mayorkas and his border czarina, Kamala Wanna Swalla Harris, Oh, they tell migrants publicly not to come all they want. But actions speak louder than words. Aspiring migrants and the bad actors who seek to exploit them, they're not stupid. They understand full well that the border is wide open. They know that if they are able to successfully cross the border illegally, this administration will not enforce the law against them. Not only do economic migrants understand this, but foreign nationals who wish to do America harm know all of this good and well. Oh yeah, this administration may claim that they're enforcing the law against criminal aliens or suspected terrorists. But lawlessness begets lawlessness, my friends, and the homeland has never been more vulnerable than it is now as a result of the White House's anti-border policies. Already this year, 11 days into the year, an illegal alien has been arrested at the U.S. Capitol carrying a machete and a knife after the Biden administration released him into the country. Record number of suspected terrorists have entered the country illegally during Biden's tenure, including one who was allowed to take a commercial flight after being flagged as an inconclusive terror watch list match. All of which demonstrates how farcical Mayorkas' ham-fisted approach to immigration enforcement is. The administration can claim they're vetting illegal aliens and keeping the dangerous ones out, but the evidence shows they are not. And yet the American people sit back, they say nothing, they do not get involved. They're scared to death to open their mouths. It's unbelievable. Praying for time, folks. We'll see in a few minutes. Do you think we have time? Do you think we have time? These are the days of the open hand. We will not be the last. Look around now. These are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man, whose place is in the past. Hand in hand with the ignorance and legitimate excuses, the rich declare themselves poor. And most of us are not sure if we have too much, but we're taking our chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love. There's so much to hate, hanging on to hope. When there is no hope to speak out in the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Charity, charity is a coach you wear twice a year.
Yeah, this is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you'll find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chance and say I sang it 20 years and a day. There's nothing changed, the human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love, Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to war, there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
Einstein once said, future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.